Food and nutrition experts getting together to help you raise a healthy family. It's time for Family Food Kitchen on Radio MD. Here's your hosts, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Busy athletic kids are burning up calories and stressing their anatomy while trying to be positively productive, and they still have to grow up to be healthy adults. That is a tough combo. Well, Mindy Black, an experienced sports nutritionist for pros and amateurs, has guidelines to share with you so your wannabe super athlete can fuel his or her mind and body for optimum performance on and off the field, in and out of the gym, or wherever their sports take them. Mindy, I so worry about kids who are super active and they're not eating properly, eating a lot of junk food. And because some manage to win their games or their races, they think it's okay to continue to eat junk food. What do we do with that?
It's a hard one to argue with them, because you're right. When they're the best of their league, it's hard to say, you know, you should be eating better. But the way I put it is, even if you're the best, what could you have been if you put the right nutrition in you? So even if you just won the gold medal, maybe if you had eaten well instead of that cheeseburger, maybe if you'd eaten the best nutrition possible, you would have had a world record. So there's always, you know, you can always compete against something else. And if you can kind of bring that to them and make it more of a big world scale instead of a small scale of just winning in your school, that can sometimes motivate them to eat a little bit better.
That's a great way to put it. You may have, you know, improved your record. However, they also sometimes have to do more than one, like, race, or they have to go back in and they have a turnaround game, or so they have to stay on peak performance for longer than maybe just that game, and yet their bodies need to recover. Did they listen to that?
They do. The way I present it to athletes that way is that it's more of a sports car analogy. So if you have a doubleheader, or if you're, you know, playing in a tournament that's day after day after day, good nutrition is important for the whole time. If we had a sports car and we decided to go from Florida to California, we'd have to fill up with gas several times along the way. If we didn't, we would run out of gas. So our body's the same way. If you're playing throughout the day, we've got to fill up on fuel several times during the day. That taken out even further, if we kept that sports car and we want to keep it for the next 10 years and we don't change the oil, the car is going to eventually break down because you didn't take care of the internal side. And our body's the same way. We can get away with eating junk food for one game, maybe two games, but if we're not eating well throughout the season, your internal body's going to end up breaking down. And so that's where we lead to injuries like either dehydration injuries, or, you know, ligament tears or sprains or things like that, little aches and pains that just don't seem to recover, and that's because we're not getting the right nutrition in.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Plus all that tear and the general use of the body during exercise is above and beyond of just a general person walking around and doing their daily activities. When you're exercising, your body is really put through a heavy workout. So inflammation becomes a topic, and I know that eating anti-inflammatory foods is extremely important, some days after, maybe immediately after exercise. And I think, explain to us, maybe that's what kids really need to hear, is eating the anti-inflammatory foods are huge. We want them to do that. But when they eat junk foods, that's just about the opposite of anti-inflammatory. Am I right in thinking this?
Absolutely. There are studies out there that show now that a high-fat meal actually inflames you for up to 3 days. So when you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to have, you know, this high fat or high sugar meal right now, and it's not going to affect me at my game 2 days from now, it actually will. So if you're doing that over time and you're never giving your body time to recover, then you're always in a state of inflammation.
Wow.
That's a scary thing. And always in a state of inflammation. You don't have to necessarily hurt to know that, right? I mean, people
say when
they're hurting, they realize maybe something isn't right, but you don't necessarily feel that inflammation. It can be a low grade and just gradually be depleting you without you
knowing. Absolutely. Once you've reached the inflammation where you say you have chronic knee pain or, you know, tennis elbow or things like that, that means something has been going on internally for quite some time. So that's the end result of what you've been doing over the last 3 months to a year, depending on what your sport is.
Well, I have another question, because you mentioned hydration injuries. What would hydration injuries? Most people don't think that way, I believe.
Well, in Florida, I'm based out of Florida, and in Florida we hear about hydration injuries being more so stillness. So if you don't drink enough hydrating fluids, then you can overheat on the field. And that's the number one we're concerned about. But it also, water helps cushions our joints. So if you're dehydrated and your joints aren't cushioned, when you're going to make sharp turns or quick movements, then say your knee or your hip or your wrist, whatever sharp movement you're making, doesn't have that cushion inside. And that's where you can lead to ACL tears and other, you know, life-altering things for athletes.
Okay, so when I think sports and hydration, a lot of times people will go to sports drinks. Is that really the best way to hydrate, or when should they be used versus water?
It depends on the athlete. Basically, Gatorade was invented for athletes, and that was our original sports. Well, our original sports drink was coconut water, but the one that's been mass produced is Gatorade, and we have it because it has electrolytes and sugar. And so it's got an evil rap because of the sugar in it. What you need to realize is Gatorade and products like that are meant for someone that's on the field playing, using carbohydrates as energy right then. If you're sitting down playing Game Boy, you don't need those carbohydrate calories. But if you're on the field, it's into your system within 15 minutes. It can make the difference on your performance if we're, say, in the fourth quarter. But like I said, if you're someone that's not active or if you're overweight, then those aren't necessarily drinks you want to choose, and water would be a better choice for you.
Good point. Yeah. So, I mean, during a game, I agree with you. I can definitely see the need for that burst of energy. So the sugar there has a point and a place. But, you know, hydration in general with water, especially for kids, or if it's a lighter practice, or especially indoor sports where you may not be sweating as much or using up all your electrolytes, then water should be more than okay to use, right? I see a lot of kids walking around with Gatorade bottles, and so that sometimes gets confusing to us as when and where to use them. So thanks for clarifying that. It should be on the field and when
Absolutely.
You're sweating. So that makes it a lot easier for parents. Now, I know you cover across many different sports. So for everyone that's listening, and somebody might have a daughter in gymnastics, or somebody has a son in Little League football, is there a huge difference how you feed for each sport? Can you give us some tips on what to look for in different sports?
Absolutely. The endurance sports, you're going to be more, because they're going, like soccer, you're going to need more carbohydrates and quality carbohydrates. So they get to, you know, each meal have more things like brown rice and quinoa and wheat pasta. Whereas, you know, your sports, say golf or gymnastics or sports that aren't as active for long periods of time, then you don't have to necessarily carb load. You can have a smaller portion of carbs at your meals, but you don't need to be really making sure that you're getting it every 2 to 3 hours for the stores that we need, glycogen stores that we need in our muscles and in our liver.
That's awesome. Great tips. And so I want to finish up with treats. I know a lot of athletes are very focused on their mind with their performance, and they are looking forward to maybe becoming pro athletes. So as far as having, you know, maybe a scoop of ice cream or maybe a piece of cake, when is the best time for athletes to have their treats?
Timing is the key part. I believe in the 90-10 rule. So 90% of the time, if you're eating awesome, then 10% of the time you can have whatever you want without guilt. Most athletes require more calories than the typical person. So if you're an athlete and you require 2,500 calories, if you're eating well, you can get all of the nutrients you need in about 1,500 calories. So we can afford to have that scoop of ice cream. What you don't want to have is a scoop of ice cream 3 times a day, or a huge amount of ice, you know, a whole pint of ice cream when you sit down to eat, because we don't need that whatsoever. We also want to concentrate those treats on after you have a big performance. So you don't want to have ice cream right before you have a competition. You want to have it afterwards when you have a couple of days to recover.
Oh, those are perfect tips. Awesome. So maybe taking the kids out for ice cream after the tournament is the right thing to do. I'm glad we have all been on track with that. Mindy, this has been just awesome. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing all those tips, from pro athletes to kid athletes to everyone in between. For more from Mindy, please check her out on mindyblack.com. And for us, go to Radio MD and listen to all our past episodes. In the meantime, eat well and stay well.